Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, yo, welcome back, everybody. Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid. And our next guest, you obviously know from Fantasy Live and, of course, the podcast on NFL Network. He is also now the host on Sirius XM Radio of Fantasy Dirt. He's the one, the only, Michael Fabiano. Michael, welcome to the program. We appreciate you dropping in.
Thank you for having me, dude. I mean, like, I'm looking behind you and I see you're a Mets fan, huh?
I'm a loser Mets fan. These are the burdens I bear in life. But again, I'm also a Patriots fan. As you see the Tom Brady paraphernalia above me, probably.
Yeah. See, I'm good with that because I root for the Yankees, mm-hmm. the Cowboys, mm-hmm. and the Lakers. And what do those three teams all have in common?
Winning.
They were all the teams that were winning when I started rooting for sports teams back in the early 80s. So I get crap constantly for that. But I don't have, like, the geographic limitation on fandom. You can root for whoever the hell you want, man. It is what it is. As long as you don't jump off the bandwagon and jump on somebody else's bandwagon, then I don't like that. But if you're faithful to the team, come on. It could be the Mets. It could be the Patriots. I see the Bulls, maybe. Is that the Bulls back
there? That's a Michael Jordan USA jersey. Yes, you have a very astute eye. I like this. I don't even know if it's in the box, but it doesn't matter because now everybody in their mind can see it. But, yes, there's a Michael Jordan USA Dream Team jersey that I have from my childhood, by the way, that I just decided to throw up there in a frame. But, yeah, man, I'm with you. Like, I grew up in the 80s in New York where in Brooklyn the Mets were king. Okay, right. That was it. My dad had a mustache. Keith Hernandez had a cool mustache. That was it. Like, you know, it was all needed to be said and done from then on.
So now I know what your favorite Seinfeld episode is of all time.
Of course. But I'll tell you what, if you ever ask me to help you move, I'll probably do it because I like you. I just want you to know that.
Well, what about if I asked you to drive you to the airport, though?
I'm not driving him to the airport.
That was great. That was so good. Man, and we didn't even practice that. That was great.
So let's talk a little football because I know we have we could do this all day and maybe we will. But in the meantime, let's start and talk about your Cowboys a little bit here because obviously a big draft for them picking up CeeDee Lamb. Randall Cobb, 800 yards gone from that offense and receiving. I don't see any reason why he can't possibly fill somewhat of that role. In the Black Book last year, Dak Prescott was my guy in terms of best quarterback on the board, return on investment, and boy, did he return in a big way. I think he's going to be somewhere close to that. You look at this offense, they're completely loaded. Do you see all these guys keeping up, or is there somebody that you're fading from this bunch? How are you approaching the Cowboys this year in fantasy?
I can't fade a Cowboy. Come on, man. I can't do that.
You got to put the personal aside.
I typically
Italian.
Do.
I mean, that's what we do. It's
I know. Business. No, I get it. I get it. I understand. Okay. I understand. Yep. But I think Dak is going to end up being great. Like he's my QB3. He was the QB2 last year. Only Lamar had more fantasy points. And now he gets CeeDee Lamb. Zeke is Zeke. No worries. Top 3 or 4 pick. Amari would be the one guy that I'm a little bit concerned about because of the durability. You know, he was so great in the first half of last year. Second half of the season, the injuries really sort of wore him down. His numbers were very inconsistent and unreliable. Michael Gallup is a guy that I feel like I'd love to have as a wide receiver three. He's got to stop dropping the damn ball. I think he was second in drop passes last year behind, I believe it was Julian Edelman. Because if he becomes unreliable for Dak, then they've got CeeDee Lamb, and he could potentially usurp Michael Gallup. I don't think that's going to happen during his rookie campaign. But you're right. There are opportunities out there. You lose Randall Cobb. You lose Jason Witten. Although Blake Jarwin, you know, we'll see some of those targets as well. There are opportunities out there for CeeDee Lamb. Maybe not to make an elite impact. Maybe not even to make a great impact, but to make a good impact during his rookie campaign in Dallas. I could see 40 to 50 catches. I could see 700 yards. I could see 5 touchdowns. As a rookie wide receiver, especially when you've had no OTAs,
right,
and you might have preseason or might not, that would be pretty good because the rookies are going to have a tough time transitioning because they haven't had those valuable workouts during the entire offseason to sort of, you know, build their rapport with their new teammates and learn the offense. It's going to be really weird, man.
Yeah, and I've been saying the same thing, so it's good to hear someone else say it out loud because it is difficult. Now, I think some guys will transcend that. I think certain guys like the Judys of the world have that kind of talent that they can, you know, rise above those scenarios. But for the most part, when you're not the main target guy in the offense, I think it's much harder. You know, when there's already guys established ahead of you, it's a little easier for Judy maybe than some others. I mean, Sutton's there, but still it's kind of wide open a little bit. But CeeDee Lamb is another one where you're like, ah, there's so many other options. I think that's what makes it tough. Let's talk about the Giants too, because they just had Bob Harris, your co-host there on the Fantasy Dirt, who I love dearly. He is he is my hero. He is my hero, my mentor.
He's your bald brother.
He is my bald brother.
Are you a Curb Your Enthusiasm guy?
Pretty much. Pretty much. I mean, you know,
we'll
do an hour together. You and
I mean, I still
got a codec. I can still log in there on Sirius and do a show with you.
Jeff Garland was on my show.
Was he really?
Ago.
You get all the celebrities.
I know, Jeff.
You do. You're a celebrity.
I'm not a celebrity. I am lucky enough to know celebrities. Jeff, I love. He's great. Every time he comes, Fabs, I love you. But I tell you something. He was throwing F's and S's all over the place. I thought it was hilarious.
Should know better by then.
I thought it was hilarious. You know, the producers didn't really think it was all that funny. But that's Jeff. He's great. Anyways, go ahead.
But he should know better. He's a pro. Like, you got to know.
I didn't really tell him. I figured, you know, he knew he was going to be doing an interview. But SiriusXM, you say, oh, I'm going on SiriusXM. I can mother F and S and everything, like, and it's not a problem. It's not the Howard Stern show, though.
No, it is not.
On the fantasy sports. Network,
I was there for 5 years, my friend. I know. Believe me, I got you on that one. But yeah, he should know better. But I thought the last season of Curb was terrific. I don't know about you.
And
they're
coming out with dude. I know. It just keeps getting better.
And he was built for this coronavirus thing with his neurosis. This is he's been training his whole life for this. I feel
it's gonna be awesome. This season coming up, they have to have the whole coronavirus thing as a part of it, as a theme for the entire. Last season was so good.
It was
so good. Thank you for your service. I thought that kid looked a little Asian. I mean, like, he's so funny.
The hat to get out of lunch. It was all about the hat to get out of lunch. That was my favorite thing ever.
I met Larry David, at NFL Network years ago. Rich Eisen used to do his podcast from the NFL Network.
Oh, I saw Rich had the Latte Larry's cup. Yes, I saw on your show.
Dude, I have a Latte Larry shirt, And my son has one, and so does my girlfriend. But we met in the makeup room, So I'm, getting makeup. He's getting makeup. And I come up to him. I say, hey, Larry, Michael Fabiano, nice to meet you. Hey, Fabiano. I says, yeah, it's a good Irish name. And Larry David, belly laughed.
Right. And you make Larry David laugh.
I felt like saying, good night, folks.
Good night, folks. Leave on a high note. See, you always.
Like Costanza does. Mm-hmm. I didn't do it. He was awesome. Yeah. He dresses exactly like he does in the show.
Absolutely. Him and my father have the same wardrobe. It is hilarious.
It was a lot of fun.
Wardrobe, those two guys.
But that's one of the greatest moments of my life. I made Larry David, who I feel like is one of the two or three funniest dudes on the damn planet, laugh.
Oh, absolutely.
It was
my
great.
Kids every morning. I mean, we are so down the rabbit hole. We might as well just do this. My kids every morning now in the summer, they were home. They're waking up later. So like on TBS, the reruns of Seinfeld are on. So we've been watching them over breakfast. And my daughter in the pool the other day was annoyed about something the other one did. And she said, Serenity Now. And I was like, look at this. I am winning as a father.
My 10-year-old loves Curb Your Enthusiasm. I'm a bad parent. I know
See,
it because
I won't. I haven't
there are bad yeah, words.
She's 10 too. They are.
he has watched it like when we didn't know that he was sort of in the room. Like, you know, he would come in and he'd watch and then he'd leave. And we had it on. He loves Larry David. Yes, there are topics that he shouldn't probably be watching on there, including, I can't say it on the show, but okay, go ahead.
Let's keep going.
We got to have this conversation another time.
Anytime, whenever you're free, you and I just talk off air or on air. I don't care. Either way, I could care less. As long as we're talking, let's talk about Miles Sanders. As long as we're talking too, because this is another guy too. Let's stick with the NFC East. We'll do a little theme here. Miles Sanders was a guy for me last year that the ADP kind of rose as we often see, like as draft season goes on, we see ADP rising and things like that because of preseason and other stuff like that. And there was always reason for concern. But last year, that was a guy that I didn't draft, but I absolutely acquired in a lot of leagues because people started to lose faith. Is that going to be a trend you see this year with these same rookie running backs you see too? Because Miles Sanders was a guy that got going as the year went on. And under these pandemic conditions and what's happened, do you think this is another position where maybe you're not in the best scenario drafting and paying big time capital for Taylor, for Swift, those guys? Maybe it's better to acquire them in a trade as you get in maybe 5-6 weeks into the season.
So I don't think the pandemic has anything to do with it. I mean, you know, what does a running back need to do? Oh, hand me the ball. I find the hole and run. Okay,
pass protect.
I get that too, but if a guy is prolific in pass protecting in college, there's a good chance he's going to be able to move that into the next level. And there are guys out there who are going to certainly need to improve their pass protection. There's no doubt about that. But for me, here's what happened with this draft class. The running back position is loaded, but all the great guys ended up being drafted by teams that already had incumbent starters. You met Jonathan Taylor, right? Marlon Mack. You mentioned Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Damian Williams.
All of them.
So Damian Williams is going to open the season as a starter.
Well, here's a question. I'm going to ask you this question. Do you feel like there's a pivot there where everybody's trending to the young guys? Is there any point in time where you start reacting to the others? Because in this scenario we're in, let's say a guy tests positive like we see in baseball. They could miss 2 weeks. If that happens, it's the other guy's backfield for at least 2 weeks potentially.
No doubt about that. I mean, like Damian Williams has started to rise back up a little bit because there's been a lot of chatter around him. Right. Like, I mean, if he's an eighth or ninth round pick, okay. Like Mark Ingram, if he's getting drafted within a round or two of J.K. Dobbins, okay. You know, Kerryon Johnson, he's going to end up being later. Marlon Mack is going to end up being later, but Marlon Mack could open the season as a starter too.
He had 1,000 yards last year.
I know he's not like a garbage back. Like he was good, and he's young, and he's explosive. So like,
and only 1 year left, right? You would think they'd want to burn him and turn him.
Exactly, and he's in that contract year, so he's going to want to actually put up some numbers because he's going to, I would think, probably not be with the Colts next season. I mean, time will tell. So there's benefit to this. You have to have faith in the rookie running back that you're drafting that at some point during the course of the season, they're going to take over the job. Like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I don't think he's going to be the guy in week one. Maybe it won't be until week four or week five, but he will eventually, I feel like, lead that backfield in touches. Last year, Damian Williams, who should have been the MVP in the Super Bowl, by the way, from a fantasy perspective, 21% of his points came on two runs, like two plays. That was it. He had the two long touchdowns. And so I don't know that I think – He's certainly not a better athlete than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's certainly not a better pass catcher than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But because he's a veteran who helped this team win a Super Bowl, there's respect there, and he's going to end up being the guy, I believe, to start the season. But you have DeAndre Swift. I feel like he's going to be the guy throughout the course of the season, but Kerryon Johnson is there. Nothing is for certain here, especially when it comes to these rookie backs and the veterans that are in front of them in the depth chart. We could end up seeing some messy backfield committees to start the season. We really could. You have to have faith that at some point, talent and upside will overcome a veteran status on the depth chart.
All right, we're up against it here. Where can everybody hear the show? When's it on? And what channel? Go ahead. Go do the whole thing.
Sirius XM, Fantasy Sports Radio, Sirius 210, XM 87, me, Bob Harris, your bald brother, Mike Dempsey.
Oh, my other brother. These are all my bald brothers. Oh, my God.
Eastern time, Monday through Friday. Come check it out. We talk about fantasy football. We talk to celebrities. We talk about sports. We talk about wrestling. We had Dolph Ziggler on a couple of days ago. You can find it all, my friend. Thank you for having me on.
Always a pleasure. We'll be right back on Sports Grid right after this.
Yeah. In Game Live.
You talk about the guy on second base. I think that could be just this season under the guise of safety and safety controls. I don't know how they're going to maintain this. No high fives, no, you know, hugging at the home plate on a walk-off home run. No, you know, or what about no fights?
I imagine that you'll get a warning first, something like that, and then low fines, $50 to $100, I don't know, to try and get you to stop.
Catch the program every single day on EvanTSY Radio and on the Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. The baseball season is 2 weeks away. For those of you who are considering restarting a fantasy baseball league, you better pay attention. Of course, we got a lot of pitching to talk to. At Pitcher List on Twitter, Nick Pollock joins us. We're going to go into some of the opening day starters around the league, some potential sleepers as well. You can follow on Twitter at Pitcher List. Nick, it's great to catch up with you again. How are you?
Yeah, it's great being here, Craig. Thanks so much. And again, I'm so excited. 2 weeks away from real MLB baseball happening, things to actually talk about, storylines coming to fruition. I cannot wait for it.
Yeah, and I would ask you this, like, there's been, like, debate going back and forth as to redrafting, restarting, should you play, should you do it at all? I think that for us here, of course, using FanDuel and playing in DFS, that's a guarantee.
Sure.
But as far as, like, playing in a season-long league, in terms of me, I've had a hard time for myself a little bit getting motivated, but I've had a harder time getting my league mates getting back motivated again. It's like everyone seems like they're very excited about baseball, but they're not excited about sitting down for 2 hours again and drafting. I'm just not sure that this whole thing is going to play out.
Yeah, I completely understand that. What I've been saying is embrace the chaos. This 2 months is going to be just completely ridiculous. I mean, it's obviously to me as a fantasy baseball player, well, I recognize it's not going to be the same exact experience as 162 games that we normally go through for 6+ months. But nevertheless, I mean, with your friends, just say, look, this is a different year. It's a different time. And let's just have fun with this. Actually, I've been getting friends that have never played it before. I've only played fantasy football saying, look, you don't have to do it for 2 months now.
Yeah.
It's the perfect time for you to jump into this. And I've gotten a couple of people already in on that. So for me, just change up the format a little bit. If you have a keeper league, just do a redraft this league. It's fine. This year, and to have those different options, it's going to be really fun. It's going to be so weird, and I got to say, I kind of love that. I love when it's super weird.
Yeah, and we're going to have exhibition games televised coming up this weekend, 17th, 18th, 20th, 21st.
Oh,
so getting excited for that stuff for sure. All right, so let's tackle some pitchers here. Let's start off with a couple of opening day starters that we know of, teams are starting to name. And I think most teams know who's starting opening day. And by the way, if they haven't announced it, you can now map out when they're pitching in their simulations or exhibitions. Let's start off with the first team to announce their opening day starter, which was Lance Lynn of the Texas Rangers. And as you see there, Lynn went 16-11 last year, 3.67 earned run average, struck out 246. 1.22 whip. And Lynn has carved out a really good second career, Nick, in terms of where you thought that he would be. Remember, he missed an entire year with Tommy John surgery, came back, lost like 70 pounds, came back the next year, gained like 50 pounds. It's like been a very bizarre career, I would say, for Lynn. But he is pretty much as solid as it gets.
It's pretty remarkable. I mean, he came out of the gate last year allowing 15 earned runs in just two of his first four starts, which was ridiculous. And we all thought, okay, Lance Lynn, not going to be that guy we really want you to be. But then after that, he threw over 180 innings of quality baseball. We're talking a 3.24 ERA, 1.17 WHIP, 30% strikeout rate. And what happened was that his four-seamer was absurd. I mean, we talk about Gerrit Cole being ridiculous and incredible. Lynn's is right there with him. What Cole can't say about his is that Lynn has a 60% plus zone rate on a four-seamer that is almost just as effective as Gerrit Cole's with a 14% swing strike rate. Those are both well above average. We don't see that kind of swing striker with zone rates. Essentially means Lance Lynn can just throw fastballs all the time in the zone with confidence. And it creates the best foundation that you want from a starter. Not to mention, he has a really good cutter. He threw it over 530 times last year, did not allow a single home run. In a time when it's of the bouncy ball era and everyone is allowing home runs left and right, even in Arlington, which was a home run haven, Lance Lynn didn't allow a single one on that cutter. And I really like him for this year. I mean, he just threw a simulated start, those intra-squad games, six innings already stretched out, dominated in it with eight strikeouts. Sure, those stats don't really matter, but the fact that he's already pushing it this early, that's the kind of guy that I go for at this point. We want to make sure we have players on our teams that are doing what they can at their ceiling as soon as possible. You know, some of these guys like the Braves, for example, they've talked about even Cole Hamels, Fulton Nevich, not going past five innings in their first start. We've right. heard about Cole maybe not going 100 pitches in his first start. Lance Lynn, there's no way you're taking the ball away from him if he's cruising after six in that first outing. That's the kind of stuff I want, because we might just get 10 starts from these guys. That's 10% of your production coming from that first start. And Lynn is someone I'm targeting everywhere because of this.
Yeah, I think that the number one starter on every team, it's a lot different in fantasy this year than it has been in years past. Mm-hmm. You get the number four starter on some other club, and he makes 26 starts. The number one gets 32, but you'd rather have the 26th of the four guy because maybe he has a better skill set. I mean, it's counting stats this year in Roto. I mean, you need to get as many numbers as you can, and Lynn is there. For the Reds, Sonny Gray is going to take the ball opening day for Cincinnati. Last season, again, I mean, actually two pitchers who were sort of enduring renaissances. Gray was great last year, 2.87 earned run average, 205 strikeouts, 1.08 whip. He won 11 games. We know that's not really an indication of a player, but the Reds offense was kind of sputtering when they were behind him last year. So let's discuss Sonny Gray. Do you have him in that same category as Lynn, opening day starter, counting stats are there, plays for a good team, can get deeper, maybe not as deep into the game as Lynn, but can get deep into games?
Yeah, definitely. I think the Reds are going to let Sonny Gray go a bit. It doesn't seem like they're limiting their pitchers as a whole relative to the other organizations that have really come out and said that, hey, we're going to take it slow to start the year. So it does make me more excited about Sonny Gray. And something that I came across in February was this fantastic interview on R2C2 with Trevor Bauer and CeCe Sabathia and Ryan Rucco, where Sonny Gray talked about adding Trevor Bauer to the team helped him out, because Bauer then started showing him all the slow motion camera footage of his pitches, taught him a new slider. And all of a sudden, from August to the end of the year, Sonny Gray was absolutely dominant, sub two ERA, sub one whip. It was ridiculous what he was doing. And it's really easy to buy into the fact, oh, right, his secondary pitches got better because of this obvious training that he did with Trevor Bauer. I think that's going to stick for this year. Yes, he does need to lower his walk rate a little bit. It was around 11% or so during that time. A little too high for our standards. Nevertheless, with better secondary stuff to help out a kind of middling fastball, I am excited about Sonny Gray, especially that the offense got better for the Reds as well, as he added Nicky Castellanos. Love that, of course. I think he's going to get wins. I think he has a favorable schedule. It's one of the most favorable schedules of the season ahead. Yeah. And Sonny Gray going deep from day one, sign me up.
Yeah, Sonny Gray, another opening day starter on the map there in fantasy. And now let's go from two guys who will start opening day to one that I think in 2021 will end up starting opening day, but not for this year. It is Zach Gallen of the Arizona Diamondbacks, who it's incredible to me that that before the Mike Leake stuff, that we could still even be having a discussion about him not being in the rotation. I don't know where this is coming from. It's just bizarre. But I guess those people did not watch him pitch last year in Miami or Arizona, because record aside, and he had a losing record, you know, on Miami, they didn't score for him. But his ERA was 2.89. And here is the staggering number for him as a young player, 10.9 strikeouts per nine last year. Look, right now, Nick, he's projected to be either their three or their four or maybe even their five. I mean, for me, the skill set for Gallen is that of a number two at the very least. Now, we have not seen this guy throw, you know, pitch 35 games and 200 innings. And until a pitcher does it, I'm hesitant to say that he can. But I don't need to worry about that in 2020. Right. So he should be a lot higher, I think, on people's radars. I bet him before the season started, Nick, a significant amount of money to win over 8.5 games.
I
got my money back because, you know, there were the bets inconsequential because there is no bet on that anymore. But I absolutely think that there'll be a mini breakout this year. I can't predict a major breakout with only making 8 starts. It's hard.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I could talk a long time about the developments of Zach Gallen. I actually do want to hear at some point your live reactions to that trade happening from Miami to Arizona. But I'm a huge Zach Gallen fan. I think he has 4 pitches in his repertoire that are phenomenal. And he has a cutter. Well, he calls it a cutter because he needs to think, like, as he throws the slider to act like a cutter. But it's a pitch that can go in and out. And when it's in, he is flat out dominant. But the best part is he has 2 other secondaries that are excellent as well. They doesn't even need that slider to complement them. A curveball and a changeup that both miss bats. He throws in the zone confidently. And even the shift from Miami and Arizona helped a lot because he even talked about it. The Diamondbacks said, you know what? We're going to change how we do things. We're going to have a blueprint just for you where we're going to go north-south complete with you. We think yourself plays much better that way. He talked about in Miami, they're a little bit more east-west. But when he came to Arizona, now it's 4 seamers up, secondary stuff down. I call that the Blake Snell blueprint. I love seeing that. It's a path to success in the majors when you have the stuff for it. And Gallen certainly does. The only hesitation I would have is maybe the Diamondbacks at the end of their staff are not going to let him go as loose as we were just talking about with Lance Lynn and with Sonny Gray. But nevertheless, Zach Gallen, I mean, he threw well over 150 pitches innings last year.
Yeah.
I think that he's just going to go and they're going to be really leaning on him during the season. They have a fantastic rotation and Weaver there as well. Obviously, they added Bumgarner too.
Right.
And Robbie Ray, of course, you never know how he's going to be. But, I mean, if he's killing it, that can be a phenomenal rotation. And they're going to need him on that fourth day to say, hey, look, we need that win today to make that playoff push. So I think Gallen is just going to well outperform his current ADP. I think he's going to make so many people happy. And you're talking about volume. He's going to get those strikeouts. He was getting constantly 8-9 strikeout games all through August and September as a Diamondback. Huge fan of Gallen.
Yeah, he will have to learn to pitch to more contact. He does not get deep into games, and it happened in Miami. Especially in the first couple innings, you know, too many pitches, not being as aggressive, walking guys. And I think that will come down in time. Wins will be still hard to come by, I think, for him. I don't think he's going to turn into, in a 162, a 15-game winner anytime soon. Because he's going to have to, you have to pitch into the 6th, 7th inning in order to preserve that bullpen.
Right,
you got to get to that point. You can't just consistently go 5 and count on your team having a lead. That's not possible. All right, Nick, before we let you go, pitcher list, tell us the latest, what's going on over there, and certainly how people can get involved on everything that you have and all of your pitching breakdowns.
Yeah, of course. Check out pitcherlist.com. We're doing about 15 to 20 pieces of content in season as that goes on. All your daily ranks of starters, your SP roundup going over all starters from the night before, talking about relievers that day for Vulture wins and saves. We have everything covered during the regular season. Of course, get PL Plus as pitcherlist.com/plus. You can hang out with us on our Discord, see the site ad-free as well, so you can actually talk to our staff and get up-to-the-minute fantasy advice for your team. So definitely check us out there. But yeah, listen to our On the Corner podcast as well, First Pitch podcast in the morning. And we hope to see you on Twitter and on our Discord as well.
All right. Awesome. Nick Pollock at PitcherList joining us here on the Monday edition of Fantasy Sports Today. If you just joined us and you want to go back, head on over to our YouTube channel as soon as the show is over. You can hear Nick break down Lance Lynn, Sonny Gray, and the Arizona Diamondbacks young pitcher, Zach Gallen. I'm sure we'll have Nick back on again soon. We'll go through some more pitchers before the Major League Baseball season kicks off on the 23rd, and then everyone starts on the 24th right after that. Speaking of which, we got to take a timeout here on Fantasy Sports Today. When we come back next, Joe Pizzapia joins me back in the house. We continue more fantasy discussion at Sports Grid is where you follow us on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter at Craig Mish as well. Don't go away. We are back right after this. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
You're watching Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
And welcome back to FanDuel Sportsbook, actively taking bets on the 2020 Major League Baseball season. If you're doing any kind of season win totals, I doubt that they're going to be on a sliding scale this year, so you want to get those in by the time opening day starts, either next Thursday if you're in on the Yankees or Nationals, and then next Friday for everybody else. And so if you want to go back on demand and check out our YouTube channel, Sports Grid, Joe and I have reviewed the season win totals for all the teams basically up to the letter S. And so this week we will close it out. We're going to take care of the Mariners today and the Cardinals. We're starting off alphabetical order, so S for Seattle and ST for St. Louis. I'm sure a lot of you want my opinion on the Cardinals, so I certainly will have that for you. But Joe, let's start off today by talking about the Seattle Mariners. Now, the Mariners win total at the FanDuel Sportsbook is sitting right at 24.5, minus 106 on the over, minus 116 on the under, so a little bit of a lean toward the under here, risking $116 to win 100. Not terrible there, and 106 to win 100 on the over. Seattle is a little bit of a stranger team, Joe, going into this season. I think it's one of those teams that really needed minor league development, not as much major league development. But they did make the commitment in spring training basically to tell us that the vets are going to sit and the rookies are going to play. And so, therefore, guys like Kyle Lewis and Shed Long going to suit up, going to play every single day for them. And guys like D. Gordon are going to come off the bench. Of course, Haniger has been hurt, and there's still no timeline on him. So this was sort of a development year for the Mariners, where I don't feel like they tore it all the way down, but they tore it down to the point where you know that they're, you know, in that year two or year three sort of that rebuild, and they have a hot young prospect who they think is going to help them a lot in the future too. But again, you know, anything can happen with that. So for me, Joe, I look at Seattle and, you know, I certainly don't think that they're going to be 500. Like, that would be a stretch for me. And, and their schedule is not particularly favorable also, having to face off with the Dodgers and some of the teams in the NL West, like San Diego as well. And then their own division isn't that favorable either, playing Oakland and playing Houston. So I would lean toward the under, but look, it wouldn't shock me if we saw a better Mariners team in the second half of this 60 game than we did in the first. Mm-hmm. I think out of the box, it's going to be a struggle for them. But when some of those young rookies start to get a little bit better, I could see them starting to win more. And I do think that this is one that may come down to the last week of the season as well.
Yeah, I would lean towards the under, but I'm a little scared of this one too, because if some of these kids do get some playing time, that could definitely change things. They could get more competitive. Also, this is one of the faster teams in Major League Baseball. You got J.P. Crawford, you got Malik Smith, you got D. Gordon, you got Kyle Lewis. You got a lot of guys here who can run.
Yeah.
Shed Long's another one of these guys too. So they could potentially play a brand of baseball that we're not very used to seeing. And I don't know how other teams are going to react to that right away. That's going to be a fascinating thing to see. I think there's a lot of individual pieces that are worth watching here. Shed Long is one of those guys. He's 24 years old. in my mind, statistically, he reminds me of like that next coming of Martin Prado, like maybe a guy that doesn't really fit anywhere, but like you're going to find a place for him to fit because he'll hit enough and he'll be, you know, a serviceable player. I don't know if he's got big time upside. Kalenic has big time upside. So is Rodriguez, some of the other guys in there. Those guys I'm really interested to see. I'm a little concerned, though, because you're not getting a full season or 100 games of these guys getting at bats. And I don't know how much that sets them back. I know Kalenic is an incredible worker, and the kid just – he works his tail off, and I get that. But there's no substitute. You and I will both agree, I think, on this for real game scenarios, real at-bats against real live pitching. I'm sorry. Like, that's what it's all about at the end of the day. And I'm kind of worried if this sets a team like the Mariners, who are really looking forward to next year, some of those guys' development back. Like, I wonder where we're at with that. But when you look at the rotation, it's tough to see them coming close to being a 500 team. Yeah. If anybody can, you know, kind of play above board in this rotation, to me, it's Kikuchi, because he was not healthy last year. I think transition to first year obviously took a lot of toll on him. I think when you're not healthy and you're not confident, that's a bad combination. He came into spring, looked much better in the spring. Now, we don't want to take that for rote either. Spring training numbers are like preseason football numbers. But for certain guys, there's always that little glimmer where you look at them and you go, okay, maybe this is the beginning of a better version of this player, and I want to give him a pass for year one. It's a lot to ask. That's the one guy that I think can play above board. I'd love to see Taijuan Walker revive his career. I was always very high on him as a prospect. Just never really worked out. But really, Craig, I mean, this pitching is not very good, and the bullpen is kind of a mess too. So I would lean under, but man, I don't think it's a good bet.
Yeah, I don't love it either. I would lean under as well. I think that, you know, my fear for going under on this is what happens if they call up these kids to play the last couple of weeks, if Kalenic and Rodriguez, like, they have them on the 60-man roster. So, you know, that's certainly interesting. The other part of this is that, look, Malik Smith is a game changer on the bases. He has not been there yet for the Mariners. So I don't know what his, you know, what the story will be for him.
But imagine those three guys in one lineup. Like, if you're the opposing catcher, that's a frustrating day, right? Or the opposing pitcher, too. I mean, trying to hold these guys on, like, you need to play Whitey Herzog baseball with this team. Now, I don't know if they're ready to do that. I know I don't know if they regret starting the clock and bringing up and signing to an extension Evan White. Do you think they were, you know, looking back on it, wish they hadn't?
You know exactly who Evan White is.
Right. Yeah. And it's another guy that's not going to blow the doors off. I don't think Shedlong's going to blow the doors off, but they might be pretty good players. They might be serviceable at the very least. And if you could play a certain style of baseball where you just got to put the ball in play and these guys are running amok, I don't know, man. Like, they might be one of these teams that's really annoying to play against.
It could be. I'll wait till the first week and then make that call on them. Cardinals are back for 2020 looking like last year. Their total is 31.5 minus 116 on the over. The under, of course, is the same, 31.5 minus 106. Look, St. Louis is never bombing, so you know that. Like, it's not a team that is going to be massively under 500. At the most, it's always a game or two. They always seem to find a way to stay in it. I don't think this year will look any different. Over the weekend, Carlos Martinez came back and pitched an inter-squad game, and he looked really good. We know that their offense is a little bit challenged and sometimes not 100% healthy with some of these guys, but they do have a kid who we think that we may see now on opening day in Dylan Carlson, so that could be a factor as well. Goldschmidt has spent all of his time during the pandemic still continuing to work out, both in Jupiter and St. Louis. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think a lot of it will come down to their starting pitching, and I think a lot of it will come down to, is Flaherty going to be dominant? And if he is, I think this can go over. I would not bet under on the Cardinals. It would just be a matter of over or nothing for me. And my lean would be, if I, like, close my eyes and dream about it, like, yeah, I mean, the Cardinals should be able to win 33 or 34 games. This is not really asking a lot.
No, it's over, like, by two games or one game, but I think it's over. I do. I'm one of these guys that, yeah, it's like Jack Flaherty was brilliant in the second half last year. He was a year under two. I mean, everything you could possibly ask for Jack Flaherty, he did. And there's a lot of people that want to point out all the time, well, you can't sustain that. You can't. Well, no, of course you can't sustain that. But it doesn't mean that Jack Flaherty hasn't turned the page in his career. It doesn't matter that he's now closer to the DeGroms and Strasburgs than he was the prospect guy with potential. So, you know, let's at least acknowledge that this guy has crossed over into that elite discussion, whether or not we want to anoint him as elite. The fact of the matter is he had elite starts in the second half last year. So I think he is. The trouble is, what do you have after that? Now, if you have Carlos Martinez, you've got something. I think when you look at the finer stats of Dakota Hudson, the win totals or something, if you go deeper, okay, the FIP and things like that, there's a lot of regression potentially in Hudson this year. There's a guy that didn't miss a ton of bats. That's always a concern, too. So I think he basically everything broke right for him last year. Mikolas is not my kind of pitcher. Again, I don't love the guys that don't have big-time strikeouts.
It's also I don't either, but also keep in mind, this was not a guy that wasn't going to pitch until now anyway. But he was doing this half the season, and now he's there. So that definitely changes the view on him. And and then look, if they hold on to Libertor, and I'm not sure that they will, but if they hold on to Libertor and he's able to jump into this rotation, I've talked about how much I like Kwang-Young Kim.
Who's out then? Is Wainwright out if Kim is in?
No, I think that they're all in.
Then you've got Flaherty, Hudson, Mikolas, Wainwright, Kim. But I didn't mention Carlos Martinez, who you want to put in there. So somebody's getting bounced.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah.
And
no,
the problem is, if Kim gets bounced, Kim have five
Kim would
righties
probably have rotation to be the swing guy in that case.
But that's tough, man, because you got five righties in this rotation, and I don't know if that's the best idea. I know it's a 60-game season, but Craig, don't you have to have a lefty in there?
I would still say that even with all five of those guys being healthy to start, I would say that if Kim is healthy and you said, give me the win total for his starts, I would say he still gets four or five starts no matter what. Somehow,
I think you're probably right there. Look, the good news is
he looked better than anybody I saw in spring.
Right. And you can never have enough starting pitching. We've learned that the hard way millions and millions of times. Somebody's going to get hurt. Someone's going to test positive. So it's going to be issues where you're right. You got to have somebody who can step in there and make starts. And they've got that, which is terrific. The problem is the bullpen here. This is where I come down to the Cardinals. It's that bullpen. Is it Gallegos? Is it not Gallegos? Is it not going to be Hicks? Like, trying to figure out, you get a bounce back from Miller. I like the offense. We already talked in the show today about how much we still think of Yadier Molina. Goldschmidt is still an elite player. He told you so last year.
DeJong is really underrated.
Yeah, I mean, Edmund's a guy that I think is a little overrated because you go back and look at the minor league track record, that power is not there. So I would not take those 11 home runs and extrapolate them over a whole full season. That's a foolish thing to do. But you hope that the O'Neills, the Baders, the Carlsons, all of them step up, but that's asking a lot. There's enough here that I think they can go over 500. I don't think they're going to be a dominant team because there are some questions with the youth and there are some questions with the bullpen, and those two things are going to hold it back. But it's hard not to lean over here just slightly because it's the Cardinals and they always find a way.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about this division is that I don't see anyone winning 40 games here. I think it's somewhere in the mid-30s. And by the way, even if some team does win 40 games and the Cardinals find themselves 5 games out of it with a few to go and they're chasing down this win total, they're going to play right to the end. There's no punting with the Cardinals. They're not looking for early draft picks. It's just not something that they do. Well, a former Cardinal, of course, we talked about with Lance Lynn and Nick Pollock earlier in the show. Coming up next, we switch over to a little fantasy football as, believe it or not, the New England Patriots seem to be doing the best job that they possibly can financially as they have cleared some space. Is there a reason for that? Is AJ Green coming to town? Is there something that could be up the Patriots' sleeve? Joe and I will talk about that next as we wrap things up on Fantasy Sports Today right here on Sports Grid after this quick timeout, so don't go away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back. Joe and I, of course, here wrapping up Fantasy Sports Today here on this Monday. We'll be back tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern. Hope you guys have a great rest of your Monday. But, of course, we still have some time to go here on this show. And just a couple minutes, we're going to talk about what the Patriots accomplished over the last 24, 48 hours. And maybe that means that the Patriots have something else up their sleeve for 2020, not just Cam Newton, or maybe they want to pay Cam Newton something. I don't know. Cam Newton's got to be looking at this thing going, whoa, what happened? I needed that money. We'll get to that in a second. But first, you heard us cover a lot of the baseball talk at the beginning of the show. And look, I don't know that we'll dive from fantasy to reality pretty quickly here, because I don't know that from a fantasy perspective that Michael Kopech would have been a monster this year. I mean, that would have been hard to figure. He hasn't pitched in a year, but I think that we were all looking forward to seeing him pitch. And then over the weekend, Joe, he was just sort of like on a list as an opt-out. And that was bizarre because, of course, there is a young up-and-coming starting pitcher. And for those people who don't know, who is Michael Kopech? Well, Kopech was a very important piece in a trade that sent Chris Sale from Chicago to Boston. In fact, Yoan Moncada, who is starting third baseman for the White Sox, was also in that deal. And the thought process was eventually that Kopech would be a starter in the White Sox rotation. Certainly, their rotation is pretty good without him right now, too, with Reynaldo Lopez and Dylan Cease and Giolito and Dallas Keuchel. So from the baseball side, I think they're in good shape. But from the reality side, to hear their pitching coach come out, Joe, over the weekend and say that he's a little worried about Kopech. There was apparently a period of time early on the spring training where he didn't come or didn't have some issues. And, you know, when you sort of hear these things, mm-hmm. it makes me think that the player hasn't been in touch with the team if one of the coaches is talking about it in this way. And I know that from covering these sort of situations in baseball, I would have worry as well. And I think it does go to show, and it was interesting yesterday. My son and I, woke up in the morning on Sunday morning, and we were just kind of, watching. He likes to watch baseball YouTube, like old videos. Mm-hmm. And I felt like, because he knew who this player was, that doesn't know him personally or anything, some of the Marlins guys. But I felt like I had to have that conversation with him. And I was like, you're going to see that maybe there's going to be a story on Michael Kopech of the Chicago White Sox and not pitching. And he says, well, why is he not pitching? I said, I don't know, and I'm not sure. But I think the important thing to note from this is that if you ever feel a certain way about something, make sure you let us know. And that to me is a little bit of a, an unfortunate way to have to start off this segment. But
no, it was a teachable moment. Sure.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to know that, because it is scary when your organization puts out these sort of comments publicly. And by the way, Joe, there's a reason for that. He didn't just say that just to say it. He's reaching out publicly sort of to get, I think, the pitcher to engage a little bit. And so hopefully by the end of the day today, here on Monday or Tuesday, there's more clarity on this player. But I know we had some high hopes for him as a pitcher, but that is now all completely, I think, on the side.
I always find it fascinating in your line of work, when you read between the lines and when you think speculation is worthy, because sometimes certain, like you said, an organization is making a point to publicly say something about it. And when sometimes we read too much into things. Like, how do you go about that personally? Because I'm always fascinated by this in what you do.
Oh, yeah.
How do you find that line between the two?
Yeah, it's things? An opinion show, and so that's my opinion. I could be wrong, but I could tell you that the White Sox have been back now, Joe, for a week and a half. They could have done this on the first day. They could have mentioned this on the first day,
Do they? Well, does that mean that they were waiting, trying to get him into camp? Or
I don't have those answers, but two weeks in, for this to come out now – and volunteered, remember, coaches, general managers, and players are not saying anything in particular about the play. Well, I take it back. Some are. The players have allowed some organizations to say their name that they've tested positive for COVID.
Right.
But this is not one of those situations, I don't think. I don't know, but I don't think. And so for Cooper, who's been around a long time and doesn't
very
have
long time.
Convince words, like he like, this is, I
he's
think,
one of the best ones
opinion,
out there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is him saying, hey, like, we've tried, we've tried to get in touch with him to figure out what's going on. And for him to say that he's worried and say it publicly means, I think, hey, whoever is around him right now needs to take special notice to make sure that he's okay. We may find out, by the way, that he is completely okay. This is just my opinion on it. But, Joe, this is something that could have been done day two of camp, day three of camp, day five. But it gets to a point where it's been, almost 2 weeks, and you gotta, get a grip on it. I know from Miami's perspective and covering the Marlins' perspective, they're not talking about the players that aren't there, and we're all having to speculate that it's COVID related.
Well, that's the hard part, is this is an era where that's the first thing we all jump to. but maybe it's not. I guess that's the question.
Yeah, but and herein lies the problem. Here's why it's so obvious, and I'll use Miami as an example. So they've had four players from the beginning, since this all back started, not show up, right? Like, that's the deal, not show up. But yet, over the weekend, they basically said, yes, Jazz Chisholm is back with us at camp. So we know mm-hmm. the scenario, essentially, right. that was out there for a couple of weeks with him not being there. It is obvious now. And I think that that's what's making it more obvious for everyone else. Some organizations are talking about it more publicly. But again, in this particular situation, I don't think that my concern is anything COVID related. It is more of a mental situation related. And you just hate to see something like this, because this is actually a kid that's been pretty public over the last couple of years, too. So,
yeah, look, I got to tell you, like, listening to all of this right now, I think anyone who has dynasty shares of Michael Kopech is probably a little concerned, and maybe you should be. Now, I don't know if you want to overreact to this, but
from a fantasy perspective, you are petrified. No question.
Okay. All right. So there you go. So Craig just did it for you. There you go. If you were afraid, Craig just pushed
you
off.
I mean, you hate to be crass about it, but the reality of the situation is that you root for somebody's health. But if this is if we're talking about a fantasy conversation, mm-hmm. There's a reason why it took Forrest Whitley this long, to get back to the big league, to be in. He should have been starting for them last year in 2019.
Right. Right. Well, I'm already skeptical and a little afraid of guys who throw 100 miles an hour anyway, because typically when you look back at the record of those guys, things don't work out pretty well. These guys who just throw the ball so hard and they're max effort all the time. Like, I like pitchers. I like the guys who understand the art form of pitching. And I think those guys always pop to me more than the guy who's lighting up the radar gun. But that's the problem with Major League Baseball now, is we get so excited about the radar gun as opposed to other things. Now, I don't know if this is a mental health issue. I don't know if this is a physical health issue.
No, we don't know. We have no idea.
We don't know what it is.
But we're praying for this guy, that's for sure.
Well, we're certainly hopeful that whatever it is, it turns out to be not the worst case scenario. But I think you are looking right now as a Michael Kopech keeper, Dynasty League owner, that this has gone from a stock that was a very, very high stock to now a stock that is at least in question. And I think when you have at least in question, then you have to make a decision. And sometimes it's a hard decision, which is, do I want to sell no longer at the highest point for this player just to get something?
There's no point of selling now. No, you can't. I mean, that's
Because there might be some
people
out
there.
I don't know if it's all the way at 10 cents yet.
It's pretty much there.
Well, under the circumstances of this year and the age of Kopech, and still
unless you're
Tommy
catching
John,
somebody snoozing, not paying attention,
I don't know, man.
A significant story when you.
Well, you know what? This always brings me back to the same thing, which is when you're in those formats, no matter how alluring it is to have the upside. I'll give you a perfect for instance. Last year in a dynasty league, I traded a minor league still eligible Jesus Luzardo to acquire Gerrit Cole. It worked out pretty well. Jesus Luzardo unfortunately had shoulder surgery. I did not wish that on him. I was very high on Luzardo. And yeah, I'm paying like a $30-something salary for Gerrit Cole. But you know what? I'm going to get my $30 worth out of him as opposed to the minor league version of Luzardo. And right. Who knows what I'm getting out of Luzardo the next 3 years. I think I have a pretty good idea what I'm getting out of Cole. And what I'm trying to circle back to is the concept of, no matter how tantalizing a young player is in these dynasty keeper formats, don't lose sight of every year, the one thing that cycles in Major League Baseball is new, young, exciting talent. They come out of nowhere in the minor leagues. They come out of college baseball and get drafted, high school baseball, all these things. The one thing that doesn't cycle every year is really good Major League talent. Always, always take the Major League talent when it's in front of you, when you can, instead of waiting for the what-if guy. Yeah, you're going to get the Acuñas, but you're also going to get a lot of other players out there that don't turn into anything close to that. And I just want to urge everybody to not lose sight of that in those leagues. You're looking for a 2 to 3 year window at all times. You can always tear it down if it's not working out and rebuild and 2 years be good. Otherwise, if you're always one of these teams that's always relying on prospects, you're constantly spinning your wheels, always looking ahead instead of being competitive.
Yep, for sure. All right, well, we'll hope for the best for Kopech. Yeah. Let's dive into the Patriots situation here, Joe, where they've reached settlements in their grievances with Antonio Brown and the departed Aaron Hernandez. And you can see here that Field Yates reported they recouped $4 million in salary cap space from Antonio Brown, $2.5 million from Hernandez, and now they have $7 million to spend. So I don't know, this is not my expertise in trying to figure out caps and who they could be going for, but I certainly know who Leonard Fournette is, and I know who AJ Green is. And look, I think that maybe that there's something else in play here. But then again, training camp opens next week. Like, maybe there's nothing in play here. But I guess it's just worth noting that it's interesting because these are two players that once upon a time they had pretty high hopes for.
Well, it's also a lot of money to clear at this juncture in the season after just signing Cam Newton. So there's a certain thought process of, hey, look what we just did. We just got Cam Newton on the cheap. If we can just kind of settle these other deals and all of a sudden free up more cap space, we can surround him with more talent and really make a run here. And I think that's what they're thinking. Now, the problem is AJ Green's making $17 million. Odell Beckham's making $14 million. So anybody like that, another team's going to have to eat the at least half of that deal. And that's not impossible because some of those teams are looking for salary relief too. So there's a world where the Bengals go, all right, we'll eat half of it. You take AJ Green and we'll save some money. We can apply that next year and blah, 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 and it all works out. So that's not inconceivable. Leonard Fournette is not inconceivable. I would even think that there's a possibility the Bears could turn things down, and man, Allen Robinson would be a fantastic piece along with Cam Newton.
Oh my goodness. I don't think they would do that before the season, though.
I don't think they would do it before the season. However, we have noticed a trend in the last 3 years in the NFL, which is all of a sudden the trade deadline in the NFL has actually been a trade deadline.
Yeah, we've got players traded.
We've had significant players traded that were fantasy relevant in the last 3 years, and you and I both know that is not a normal occurrence. So everybody needs to be aware. Yes, the Pats are always, you know, manipulators of the cap and things like that. This was a very methodical thing they did, doing it all at once, doing it the way they did it, and when they did it. So just keep an eye out. They might sit on it, or they might just be making an opening for a trade deadline move, too. Either way, this is something to be aware of when you're making wages on the Patriots this year because they think they're in it.
Yeah, well, look, they did do that last year at the deadline, too. It was a horrible trade, but they tried. And got Sanu. All right, that'll do it for the show. Thanks again to Nick Pollack for coming on the program. Thanks to our good friend Michael Fabiano as well. And thank you to Brett, Danny, and Ryan for putting our show together today here on this Monday. Joe and I will be back for another edition tomorrow. Meanwhile, stay on the grid the rest of the day. Great programming coming ahead. For Joe Pizzapia, I'm Craig Mish. Hope you enjoy the rest of your Monday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. See ya.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better, and that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Ready to put a little spin on your day? Then check out Chumba Casino's new online social casino game, Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's free and packed with 10,000 ways to play, only at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.